Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
My elder, Pogonsi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my elder. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you, my elder?
Blessed. It's the day of preparation, finally.
Oh, finally, finally, you can say that again. Finally, I've been looking forward to this day. And, you know, I think... A day that precedes the best day of the week. You know, so it's the second best day for me. Yeah. Amen. Now, we are continuing to talk about, in fact, concluding even, you know, the discussion on the Trinity. Amen. And Isaiah talks about the guidance, you know, guidance rather of the Holy Spirit. And I think Isaiah 30, 21 reads, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." So, we want to know more about the Trinity. So, what does the Scripture tell us about the Holy Spirit, and what is the role really of the Holy Spirit? Over to you, Elder.
Mm-hmm. You know, before I answer your question, I just want to give more of a synopsis of the whole Trinity or Godhood, right? That you know, in approaching some of these subjects, we ought always to draw what is it for me in this life. It shouldn't be about the mere purpose of knowing and arguing and debating. And that's when strife comes, you know, when people debate and see things differently. You know, there are some things that we can never come to conclusion or rather comprehend, because the secret things belong to God. You know, we are told that once we know the fullness of God, He ceases to be God. So we can only discuss of things that are revealed to us and what we ought to do for our salvation in order to overcome sin and live righteously. So in attempting your question about the Spirit, we first find the introduction of the Spirit in the book of Genesis chapter 1, when God was doing the work of creating. Remember, God there is Elohim, meaning it's plural. Elohim, so it's plural, it's a Greek name, meaning God in English. When he says, let us, meaning that there's divine persons who are engaged in the work of creating, and the Holy Spirit, we find Him, you know, being involved also, that the Spirit of the Lord, there's to hover upon the face of the earth, right? And that's where we first encounter, we had our first encounter about the Holy Spirit. Besides that, Job chapter 33, verse 4, you know, Job says, the Spirit of the Lord has created me. You know, so sometimes, in most cases, the Spirit will be referred as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, in the book of, in the new dispensation of the gospel, he'll be referred to as the Spirit of Christ. And the reason being is because He doesn't glorify himself. He's not here to glorify himself, but he's here to glorify the Godhood, the Godhead. So this is, to me, one of the most amazing and remarkable things about the biblical doctrine of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit seems to hide himself and to conceal himself by representing, you know, the Father, representing the Son. Hence, you find that he will be referred as the Spirit of God. He is representing the Godhood, the Monarch of God, the Spirit of Christ he is representing. But to further continue in giving definition about the Spirit, Job 33 says, he created me. Psalms chapter 104, verse 30, we are told that he created also the earth. You know, he's part of, you know, and that's only what God can do. You know, so he does the work that only God can do. So throughout the scriptures, we find that the Spirit manifests the qualities of divinity. right? How so? He is omnipresent. David says that in the book of Psalms 139, that where can I go? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Wherever I am, you are. In the heavens, you are there. So basically, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. We learn that he is omnipotent. You know, the work that God does, such as creation, is also ascribed to the Holy Spirit, given the verses that we've read. He is omniscient. He knows all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we learn that he searches all things, even the deep things of God, and that the Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. You know, that's what the verse it says. Lastly, about the Spirit. The Spirit is God. He's God, sorry. How so? It is, he's directly attributed to God. If you read Acts chapter 5, Ananias, remember Ananias who lied to Paul? It was the Paul of Peter, so to Peter. Yes. And that, and after lying, you know, the servant of the Lord said to Ananias, thou hast lied to the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 4 it says, Ananias, you lied to God, you know, emphasizing that you've lied to God. And the other verse, which is my favorite, is the work of Christ that he came to do upon the earth. If we read Isaiah chapter 48, verse 16. You know, this, if you take it from verse 1, this is the Lord speaking, God speaking, right? And this is Christ being represented. You know what he says? He says, let me just go through the verse. He says, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. You know, so this is the Lord speaking, you know, saying that we find the triune, you know, God, you know, represented, the Godhead represented in Isaiah 48, verse 16. We find Christ saying that God, the Father, the Lord God, and his Spirit, the Spirit, has both sent me. So we find three personalities being represented there.
Right. Now, the Holy Spirit, we are on the Holy Spirit. does it have a gender?
Did you really think of that question? you know, throughout scripture, the Holy Spirit is represented with masculinity. He's masculine, basically. That's the representation that he is, that is being given to us. There are several verses which you find where he's actually being represented as masculine. But given his nature, silence is golden. Silence is golden. To answer your question, you find in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5, Ezekiel says, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and he said to me, so you see the pronoun he, you know, he says to me, say, thus says the Lord. You know, so we find the pronoun being ascribed to the Spirit. Even Christ, before ascending to, you know, to heaven, he assures the disciples that that John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, that I have to leave, you know, and in leaving, I will send you another comforter. And Christ also ascribed to the pronoun he, you know, that he will represent me, he will be with you, you know, he will be the Spirit of truth, and he will be the comforter, you know. So that's how far we can go. That's how far we can go with our little knowledge. With our little knowledge. Even Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Christ speaking that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed, you know, he's referring, ascribing to the Spirit of the Lord, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So, in many scenarios, the Spirit of the Lord or the Holy Spirit is ascribed to a masculine attribute. That's how far we are, basically, where we are in terms of this knowledge. Another factor about the Spirit of the Lord, given your question, I needed to add this, that he is eternal. He is eternal. And only God is eternal.
Yeah.
Only God is eternal. And you can read that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Lastly, about, you know, just about what you've asked, the question that you've asked. If you recall, about the Israelites, having been set free from Egypt and their journey in the wilderness, that they tested and tried the Lord, right? Actually, if you read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, you know, we are told that that it was the Holy Spirit that said to the Israelites that you have tested and tried me. You know, so it's amazing that, you know, we find the Holy Spirit acting in action in several cases. We find God, Christ being active in several instances. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15, you know, also equates the Spirit, you know, to him, to God, where he says, behold, I will make a new covenant, you know, and that covenant, I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds and so forth. And that's the Spirit speaking. That's the Spirit of the Lord speaking. And he ascribed to God, if you trace the verse to Jeremiah 33. So God himself is being attributed, the whole attribute of God in terms of gender is masculine, but that's where we can end.
Lastly, my elder, as we wrap up the conversation, you know, before Christ ascended and gave us the Spirit, did the Spirit not exist on earth?
Having read the verse that he is eternal, he has always existed. He has always played an active role, even through this plan of salvation. In the Old Testament, we find the Holy Spirit active. You know, David in 2 Samuel 23, he says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. You know, so he's referring to the Spirit of God. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, it says that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on me. So we see that the Spirit of God being active, you know, in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 14, it says that the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. This is ascribed to the Spirit. So we cannot say that the Spirit of the Lord was not active. It was also active in the conception of Christ, in the conceive of Christ, Jesus. You can read that in Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. We find that, we are told that the child will be filled with the Holy Ghost. He'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. So this is a separate entity, a separate being, you know, who is interdependent, but he does nothing of himself, divine as he is, but he does what the Father says and what Christ says. So when Christ ascended to heaven, promising the giving of the Holy Spirit, we find that it was a beginning of a new dispensation of the action, or by the action of the Holy Spirit. Christ had fulfilled his dispensation here upon the earth in his years, 30 years of being here, 33 years of being here on this earth. The Father, you know, played a huge role in his dispensation in the Old Testament, Although it does not exclude the other type, the spirit and Christ himself in the dispensation, but we see the fullness of the work and their activity. So right now we are living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Whereas, you know, what do we learn from that? We learn that the Holy Spirit, He's the Spirit of truth, and He will help us to walk in righteousness, to be like Christ Jesus, since Christ says He will do nothing of Himself, but whatsoever I tell Him, He will do. And that's what Christ Jesus says. So the Holy Spirit has always been there throughout eternity. We don't know much more about beyond of what He was or what He is in eternity, but He's always been there. And he manifests the divine attributes. Lastly, I don't know how many minutes I've got, but just to wrap up before you say
we have about 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Okay. There's a controversial idea that the spirit is Christ Jesus.
Okay.
That He is Christ Jesus. You know, this is not something new. This is something that is going around about throughout Christendom, that there's only the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit is not a personal. He's not a person himself. You know, He's an entity. He's a essence of power that belongs to God and belongs to Christ Jesus. I find this very controversial because I find this very misleading, sorry. And I hope one day a platform will be open for such, actually to unpack more about this misleading thought, because Christ could have said that, I send you a power, you know, not a person, but now we find that Christ says, I will send you another comforter, and He will, you know, that means Christ was actually He will be misleading us. And the object of the purpose of the Bible scriptures is not to mislead people, but it is to unify all of us to truth. And, you know, it will, that's what I find, that means Christ will be misleading us to say that He is not a person when He says that I send you another comforter, and He will, basically He's personifying this being, you know, who is divine, who is to represent Him. You know, having read the verse, Ezekiel chapter 11, where it says, Isaiah chapter 48, that the Lord God and His Spirit, we find two personalities there, the Lord God and His Spirit. So if we're to ascribe the Holy Spirit to a power or an entity that does not exist, we'll be lying to ourselves, to what we'll be reading, where many accounts where He is ascribed to an independent being doing the work in this very salvation. So, but I haven't said much regarding this, but I hope one day a platform will be opened for that. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, my elder, I do want to say thank you so much for your time, and we definitely will make time that we look at that particular subject. But for today and for this week, I do want to thank you so much for coming through. Have a blessed Sabbath.
Amen. God bless all the listeners and every one of you. Have a blessed Sabbath.
Blessings
Amen.
To you. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.